favor of God. And I've learned as a, my dad was a farmer, and of course I've gardened. I've never been a farmer, what you'd say a farmer, but you know, I worked on the farm picking produce and different things, but I've always gardened, you know, and I know unless I plant seed, I don't get a harvest. You know, and because I knew that in the natural, quickly God began to deal with me about seed sowing, you know, and tithing and giving and being generous. The Bible says the generous soul shall be made fat in Proverbs, you know. And to me, that's God's grace. That's God's grace that gives me this Bible. I mean, that's God's favor. I mean, you know, that I've got a Bible here that came from God. I know it was written by men, but it said it was inspired by holy men of God, written down is by the Lord. It's the word of the Lord, you know. And so that was God's favor doing that, that we can number one, grow spiritually and develop spiritually and live a joy, faith-filled life, you know. And not only that, but all of our needs supplied. I'm talking about in abundance and to the full, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And God, and that was God, Jesus, was God's favor. I mean, that was the favor of God coming, and he was manifest through Jesus. He became flesh and dwelt among us, you know. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So immediately, you know, as I was reading the Word, I would get a little nugget here, a little nugget there, and I found out later in the Word that it said line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I began to understand that God built us little at a time in His character, in His strength, and all of that, you know, that we would enjoy. I'm enjoying life. I mean, I've been serving the Lord 30 years, pretty much, you know. And I mean, I have experienced over the years, little here, little there, you know, and different things, you know. But I'm to the place in the natural realm, you know, I don't lack a lot. I don't want a lot. I've been blessed. God has blessed me, you know. And that's what Sandy was saying, you know, Paul said, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So God's people ought to be inheriting what God said to them. Healing, finances, relationships, marriages, kids, grandkids, all of that should be healthy. All of that, if we walk with the Lord, all of that will be healthy. God will just supernaturally put His supernatural ability. That's one of the things favor is. It's God's divine ability. The favor of God is God's divine ability. You know, and the Lord showed me something else, you know, kind of quickened me to something else. Favor is an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. I mean, that's God's favor. It's an act of kindness, you know, beyond what's usually, that's the favor we have from God. God's favor's on us. We're favored by Him. Hallelujah. Put that Psalms 5:12. But you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of God's people over the years, you know, they just want to confess and confess and confess, and I'm all about it. I mean, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life all the time, over my business, over this church. I'm all about confession, but I'm also about getting the anointing oil bottle and going to anoint the doing, you know, letting my faith be in action, you know. And I was called to evangelize pretty much immediately after I got saved. I was called into the ministry. I knew I was called to preach. And so I quit my job and all that because that's what people told me that I had to do. If you're going to do ministry, you know, you can't work a job and do ministry and different things like that. So I quit my job and I had no Philippians 4:19 happening. Paul told him, he said, but my God shall supply all of your needs. My needs wasn't being met. And I thought, man, you know, well, I mean, you just got to start for Jesus, I reckon, you know, and all that. And Teresa, she told me, she said, you're going to have to go back to work. We was getting a paycheck every Friday, you know. And she said, like, the Lord's not sending it in the mailbox, you know. Well, I just thought, lay around the house, you know, take a little side job. I was taking side jobs. I didn't really quit. If I believe in what I thought, I wouldn't even took a side job, right? While I'm waiting on ministry. You know, well, I mean, we got hungry, you know, and all of that. But you know what happened? Once I went back to work, God's supply began to happen. I mean, he began, not just that job, it was the other stuff, you know. I mean, things just begin to happen and all of that. Why? I was being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Not just believing God's promises are yes and amen, but I was getting up, and the Bible says he will bless the works of our hands. He said he'll bless the works of our hands. But it says here, for the Lord will bless the righteous. Are you the righteous this morning? Yes, you are. The Bible says you have been made through Jesus the righteousness of God. So he's talking about you there. He's talking about me there. He was telling them then there, but he's still God today. How many knows that he's the Lord our God, and he don't change. So the Bible says, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We've been the favor of God is on our life. Hallelujah. You don't earn God's favor. God's favor is he does it anyways because we believe in Jesus. We believe in the Lord Jesus, and we believe what he said in his word that he will do it. How many knows that faith actually is what releases God's favor that's already there on our lives? And you know, God was trying to favor me in a big way before I got saved, but the Bible's very clear. He said, no man comes to the Father or gets the Father's stuff without Jesus, right? So I didn't have access because Jesus is the door. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the door. And once I give my heart to Jesus, the favor of God came on my life. That's the way it is today. That's when he begins to move in people's lives. They give their heart to Jesus and start the church and things. I mean, washing machines happen. Right? You know, you might look like the Beverly Hillbillies, but they was looking at the favor driving down the road tied on the top of that car. Hallelujah. That was God's favor. He just rebuked the devourer over the $20 she prayed over at home. Prayed hard over it. I understand. We understand. But you know, when she released that, she released the favor of God. She allowed the favor of God to come in. She not only got a washing machine. How many knows I got delivered from the laundromat a long time ago, praise God, and it wouldn't be a blessing to have to go back today. To say it hour after hour. It's real good to hear my washer spinning in there that God has blessed us. And we don't. Plus, it saved her $150 a week. Right? Plus, the washer and dryer, if you went and bought two at Lowe's, I'm sure it would cost you $14 or $15 minimum. Right? That was God's favor. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, that's the favor of God. Come on, the righteous. You already are. See, a lot of times Satan says, well, you know, you don't do this, you don't do that. Now, we get the instructions of being having integrity, and we get the instructions and all that. But being in faith, believing God, is what causes me to be able to be a doer of God's word. Right? I make up my mind diligent. You know, diligent people, they think ahead. I'm diligently thinking on the things of God. Every day I'm telling, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Hallelujah. And it ain't just because I'm picking this up. I've been walking in the favor of God and didn't even know it in a lot of areas for a lot of years, and then come to the realization that was the favor of God. That was the favor of God in my business. That was the favor of God in my finance. That was the favor of God that opened that door that I got to go. And Revelation even says that he'll open doors that no man can shut. He'll shut doors that no man can open. Hallelujah. He'll give you divine. I mean, when I had open heart surgery 6 years ago with no insurance, and I owed the hospital $130,000, you know, plus doctors and all of that, and God wiped it away in a moment. That was the favor of God. I mean, he just wiped away the, but you know what? They sent me paperwork and and then I filled it out. And then they come back and they said, you're denied. And then I go back and I say, why? And they say, you make too much. And then they're like, and I'm like, no, you're going by this. And you're going, and so they sent me more papers. And Teresa says, just throw it in the garbage. Why? Because we had already been through a lot. You know, the open heart surgery and the being in the hospital 3 weeks, and then we get home and things is kind of getting back a little to normal, and all of that. All the while, you're believing and trusting God for a speedy recovery. You're speaking to your body. You're keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. See, the favor of God, sometimes it's the process that we're walking in, and we're keeping our mind stayed on the Lord. We're not turning loose of God's promises because of what we are experiencing. We've made up our mind. We're not going to believe based on what we're experiencing. We're going to believe based on the Word of God no matter what we're experiencing. And so then I sent another letter back, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I did that 2 or 3 times and I thought, I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit believing God. How many knows that's what you got to do when you are facing uncertain things? You are facing that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't sit there and entertain the thoughts and let it begin to build up an image in your mind and heart of what could happen. That is not good. That's wrong meditation. You got to cast that down according to 2 Corinthians. Why? Because you're waiting on God's favor. Because you're waiting on, we call it breakthroughs. He's a God of breakthroughs. Well, that's divine favor when He brings breakthroughs. Well, we're waiting on God's deliverance. That's one of the things that favor says that it is. It is deliverance. It is an advantage. We have an advantage over lost people. We're not over them or above them. I'm not saying that. But they don't have access to the favor of God like the righteous do. Then when we walk with God and they see us go through these troubled waters and they see us never speak any doubt or unbelief. They never hear us say we don't know what we're going to do. They don't hear us do that. Why? Because we have faith in God. And we know that God said it in His Word, and we're not going to speak anything contrary. We're not going to believe anything contrary. And you know what? Got that phone call, and I told her when I come in agreement, because I'm going. See, doing right, righteous people do right because it's right. And so I had the thought, I will never get this paid off the rest of my life, man. $130,000, you know. And then I thought, well, it don't make any difference. You know, a good name. Now I turn to the Bible with my thinking. Past what I'm going to have to make payments the rest of my life on the open heart surgery, okay? That's what my mind was thinking. And then I thought, nope, I didn't believe God to pay things off early, and I'll believe God and He'll bring in chunks and I'll pay it off early. I won't pay the rest of my life. And I'd say that stuff. I'd tell that devil, liar. You're lying. You're causing me to have these thoughts. Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Don't it? Proverbs 3. See, you need to know where that's at without going to it. Why? Because you acknowledge God and He'll give you some wisdom. So I made that phone call and I said, okay. I said, I want to go ahead, and I decided, you know, that I would pay $500 a month. $250 to the doctors and $250 on $130,000. And when I did that, then that girl, she comes back, she said, well, let me tell my manager, blah, blah, blah. She comes back and she said, I don't know what happened. She said, but when I went in there and told her what you wanted to do, she said, she told me that if you'll pay $300 today, that they'll wipe off the $130,000. And I said, by golly, I'll be right back. Let me get my debit card. I paid the $300, and I said, how about email that to me? I want it in my hand. You know, you mark it and paid and email it. Then you can mail it. Get it to me immediately. Well, God, that was the favor of God. If he can wipe out $130,000 for me, surely He can get you a washer and dryer. Surely he can heal your body, right? Surely he can bring restoration to your family. All you've got to do is lean on the favor of God. You've got to tell the Lord, Lord, you have compassed me with favor. You put it on me. You've crowned me with favor. And if God be for you, how and who can be against you? Favor means you've been accepted. You've been accepted. Favor means that you have been accepted. God's approval is on your life. Favor means God's approval, God's support, God's divine ability. Favor opens doors that wouldn't normally open for the righteous. The Bible says that our gifts will make room for us and take us before great people. It don't say that our gifts will make room for us and we're going to be before nobodies. I'm talking about he makes divine, the favor of God will make, I believe if you're called to go here just like me, I'm here by God's divine favor, 22 years. Now, you know, I've been down to where Teresa couldn't even show up. We've been up to 70, 80, I don't know. Then we've been down and I stood behind this pulpit right here and there was nobody in those chairs that y'all were sitting in, and I preached that sermon that God had given me. And I mean, revelation flowed from me right here and nobody was here because I told God, I said, God, if there's nobody here that I'm in your divine favor, this is what you've told me to do. So I'm going to do what you've told me to do regardless of what my circumstances look like. And when I got done, I left and I thought, glory to God, I'm going to ask them Sunday, anybody else want to lay out? I had such a good time in the presence of the Lord. I mean, the anointing came on me. It seemed like a greater anointing to preach than I'd ever been. Why? Because I was not walking by sight. I didn't walk out and say, well, ain't no need in getting up there and doing nothing, you know. See, that's the way we do when all odds are against us. We don't look at the natural and determine whether we're going to quit, surrender. And you know what? I left here with a greater awareness of God and God's ability. And I really didn't know till I started studying favor that I was accepted that night. He accepted me. He brought support. He brought his divine ability on me. And I did that and I left and I'm like, glory to God. It's the will of God's one. Then that's when I started saying, you know, pretty much, you know, faith begins where the will of God is known. You got to find God's will. If God's told you to come to church here, listen, people's listening all over the world. We're all over the world. We got an internet that we download every sermon, and they go all over the world. We're in India this morning. We're in Hong Kong. We're over in Israel. We're over in wherever they log on to. We're over there. So we're not just talking about people here. When I'm talking, you know, I'm liable to be talking to somebody over yonder that's backslid or somebody over yonder that's a Christian and don't go to church regular. And I'm on church. I'm a major backer of people going to church, whether it's here or wherever you're supposed to be, because I know that in the will of God for that person, although they may have been hurt, although they may have been offended, although they may have a lot of excuses that Satan gives me, you, and everybody else not to go to church. Somebody got my parking place, you know, it's too hot in there. Travis is too loud. Travis sounds a little arrogant. He does, even to me. Sounds like a smart aleck at times. And I looked at him and I was like, he said something the other day and I come back with something arrogant and he wasn't eating or something. I don't know what it was. And he said, I'm not going to eat. I know what it was. I told him, I said, well, pull off here at the store, you know, and let's get us something to eat. He said, well, I'm not eating. And so I thought, well, what does that mean? You're not stopping at the store because you ain't eating? I mean, you know, and I told him, so I just looked at him and I said, well, we are. And I said, then I told him, I said, did you mean that arrogant? He said, oh, no, I was just saying, well, I ain't eating, you know. Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't mean it arrogant, but sometimes he's, don't y'all agree he sounds arrogant? A little smart aleck? But really he's not, you know, it's just the way he talks. He was raised by his mama. Hey, she said. I was up there yesterday working on my service truck, and we were talking about, I was talking about Aubrey and Aiden down at home, down at the house. You know, they come to the house every Tuesday. And I was down there, and I said something. I said, well, you know, I mean, I said, I think Teresa's a little excessive, you know, sometimes with, she don't, and I said, but anyhow, I said, it'll make her tough. It'll make them tough. He said, yeah, that's why. He said, Mom's why you can't hurt my feelings. You can't. And she told me the other day, she said, I've made a man out of you. And I said, no, you ain't. Jesus has. You ain't made no man out of me. She said, I've made you tough. I said, I was getting tough when I met you. I was working on getting tough. Now, we were just being funny. And I was being funny about that, you know. But the enemy comes in there. I mean, you know, he'll tell you all kinds of things to get you out of his favor. I'm going to say out of church, but it's out of his divine favor. See, that's what he's working on. That's why Satan don't want God's people assembling anymore. He's did a big job in the last 4.5 years of dividing the church through COVID and the government and everything. And then demonic spirits working on people, and you know, wanting ministers like me to go ahead and ordain homosexuals and ordain, you know, whatever, you know, transgenderism and all of that stuff, you know, and that all of this right here. See, and we had to hold our heart in integrity on the Word of God in that, so that we, then they don't understand, so that we have God's approval still on our churches. The anointing flowing in our churches, therefore, the anointing flowing in our life out there. Hallelujah. Because God is into increasing His church. He's going to increase you. He'll bring wealth to you. He's not one bit, he don't mind one bit about you having plenty of money. Come on, somebody. You ought to walk around saying, I am highly favored of you, God, and don't ever say out of your mouth, I'm broke, don't know how we're going to make ends meet. God, you know our heart. Don't go around saying all that stuff. Declare this. Declare that I'm surrounded by God's favor. I'm crowned with the favor of God. I invested a little money in the stock market, and I'm not promoting the stock market. You'd be led. But anyhow, I mean, one day I went in there and I looked at it and I was down about $1,500. I said, whoa! Oh my God! That was $1,500 sucked out in 35 minutes. I thought, oh my God, have I made the right choice? My goodness, man. What if I come in next day and there's 2,000 down? Then I come in the next day and there's 10. And then you go around hearing people and they're like, I lost $50,000 in one day. And I'm like, oh my God. Whoo! And then I shut all that off and I told the Lord, I said, God, I said, all I did is bought a product. And I'm believing you, Lord, that you will bless the works of my hands. I'm not depending on buying stocks. I bought garage doors for 30 years. I buy the garage doors and I sell them. I just buy a piece of Walmart and then I'm going to sell it. It's not gambling. People call it gambling. It's buying stock. It's investing in stock. But I'm not about the stock market. But anyways, I told the Lord, I cast all that down, and then I said, I never lose. I told Satan, I don't never lose. I wasn't talking to Teresa or anybody else. I'm getting this settled between me and God right now and the devil. You know, I don't believe in losing. I can't find it in here where Paul surrendered. I can't find where Jesus surrendered. I can't find where Peter surrendered. I find where Peter went fishing and got a bunch of money out of the mouth of that fish and paid Jesus' taxes and his too. Right? I find in the scripture where Jesus said he took on himself poverty that we might be made rich. Wealthy. God's people are supposed to be the wealthiest people on the planet. I mean, building, we don't need but about $2.5 million to build our new building, and we don't borrow money. Right? Well, how are we going to do it? We're wealthy. That's how we're doing it. I'm looking at a wealthy bunch. I mean, you know, He said that he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory, right? All of your needs. You need healing, he'll supply it. You need restoration in your marriage, I promise you, I've lived it for 30 years, he can do it 40. I promise you, relationships in the family, me and Doris, we didn't have a good relationship. We had one of the roughest relationships, son-in-law and a mother-in-law could have. We both of us wish neither one of us walked in the same county each other walked. She's sitting right there. I'm not telling you hype stuff. But Jesus comes into our lives, and now I believe that we have one of the best mother-in-law and son-in-law relationships on this planet. I mean, that's the favor of God. But you know who changed? Me. She began to change. And Jesus began to change. We didn't even change. We're just going after the Lord. We're just serving the Lord. And then I begin to say out of my mouth, you know, I have a good relationship with my mom. I have a good relationship because of you, Jesus. I have a good relationship with my boss. My boss called me up about 8 months after being saved. Called me up to his office. And he said, sit down over there, Sugar. He called me Sugar. And I sat down over there and I thought, oh man, I thought I got the angels watching over me because I'm thinking I'm fixing to get blasted or something. I don't know what's going on. If you ever got called to his office, it was not good. But see, I'm serving Jesus now. But I'm expecting, you know, and then I thought, I'm not quitting this job ever again, because usually if he ever chewed me out, I'd leave his truck in Birmingham and hitchhike back to Blount County and say, fire me. You fire me, I'm not driving your truck no more. Go down there in Birmingham and get it. I did it. That was stupid, man. I walked back to Blount County. That was dumb. So I made up my mind. I'm not never going to quit again. I'm not going to be a quitter. So I prepared my mind. I knew the scripture in there where it says, prepare, gird up the loins of your mind. It says, prepare your mind for action. Go ahead and be prepared for action. That way you don't have a bad reaction. If you're prepared, that somebody's going to chew you out, you're in control before you get to the chew out. And the chew out's not going to get you out. Man, this stuff's rhyming. That's the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not a poet. And Trisha knows it. But anyways, I go up there, and he said, what's happened to you, Sugar? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Jack. He said, you're different. He said, you're different. And I told him, I'm thinking about it, you know, because I didn't see no difference. You know, all I know is I got saved and I'm going out of gym. I'm going to church and I'm reading my Bible. I'm fasting, you know. I mean, I'm fasting as a baby Christian. Don't get older and say, oh, I can't fast. Oh, yes, you can. I do it often. And you know what? I don't even fight with it anymore. I done mastered it. The hand of the diligent what bears rule. Once I've made up my mind I'm going to fast, then, I mean, hot dog can't whip me. I mean, you know, nothing can whip me. Even Travis, he'll say, he knows what day I fast. I don't tell him in the truck, you know, so he even knows it's every week pretty much, you know. But anyways, I get up there, and he says, what's different about you? Something happened to you. I said, well, Jack, I said, man, I got saved. I said, I give my heart to Jesus. I said, that's the only thing. And I didn't really see no change at that time in me. But people that were around me, you don't get born again and then Jesus walking in you and all in your favor on you and people don't see it. That's not going to happen. That's why he said, let your light so shine. But what that meant is I was going after the Lord. I was finding out that I was the righteousness of God, even though I still had a lot of flaws, but I found out that I was the righteousness of God already. I wasn't doing these things to get right and to be right. I am right, and these right things are starting to unfold in my life. And people were seeing it. And so, see, that was God's favor. I left out of there and I thought, man, I just got bragged on by the meanest dude I've ever worked for. I mean, I don't see how I deserved this. Well, you know, that's what God's favor is. We don't deserve God's favor. We don't deserve to be healed and healthy. And we don't deserve to see our families turned around and have good relationships. We don't deserve none of that. No, but we've entered into the God that is that. All He did is move into our life. And I mean, there's no way that I am not going to believe God to have way more. I told Him, I said, God, if you want to bring that money for our church into my life, it's yours. And I mean it. I mean what I'm saying. God, if you want to do it, but I would rather see you make them bring that wealth into the body that I've been telling them about you for all of these 22 years. I've been telling them that you are a God of more than enough. And I would rather see you do it to them. I would rather see you demonstrate it to them. And then when we do, all of y'all out there in Facebook land that you're supposed to be at this church, you're going to be hanging out dry. Your leather's going to have, it ain't going to be wet. The Bible says for you that's listening by way of internet and you can't, listen, that stuff is made for the nursing homes and the hospitals and the prisons and the jails where they can't come and assemble together. That stuff is made for them. It's put out there for them. And it's an additive to us. It's like a dessert spiritually for us outside of church. You know, so the Bible says for us to be planted in the house of the Lord and we will flourish in the courts of our God. You know, that's God's favor that He would give me that kind of wisdom. He would say, if you stay in church, you're going to flourish. That's God's divine favor that He would give me that word of wisdom. How it works, I really don't know. But I just know when I come to the house of the Lord, you know, that things happens different than if I stay at home. I listen to sermons online. I listen to about 3 or 4 sermons after church of some of the affiliations that I have. Not every time, you know. But I guarantee you, if I was in that service, the atmosphere, I would be able to feel it that I'm not feeling sitting on my couch. And the partaking of, it's like Teresa said, every one of us, we sacrificed to get here today somehow. We gave up sleep. This is our day off. We work all week. We're tired. You know, this is the living for the weekend. Yeah, you know. That old song, I ain't heard none of that in long yet. But no, we live for the week. I'd rather see God on Monday than sleep on Sunday. I'd rather see God on Tuesday than take a vacation spiritually from reading and praying and fasting. I would rather be strong when my body feels weak inwardly, where I could say out of my mouth, let the weak say that they're strong and say, God, I'm strong. I'm strong because I'm strong in you. That's God's favor that gives us the wisdom, the word, to speak over our situations. Hallelujah. Give me that... Beth, I don't know what I want. I'm going to have to hurry. Give me that Luke 2. I'm going to try to be diligent to get out by 12:15. Not go over like our Sunday school teacher. And Jesus, now Luke chapter 2 is all about Jesus. They're telling about this boy's going to be born and all of this, you know. And then it tells about after he's born and all of that. Then it tells about when they're on the journey and God's told them to go back to Galilee and everything, Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And this is telling about that story. This is telling about they went a couple of days journey, 3 days journey, and figured out Jesus wasn't there and went back. All of this is in Luke chapter 2. And then he's sitting in the synagogues and he's asking them teachers and stuff, you know, questions and stuff. And they're marveling at his answers, at Jesus' answers. When he's young, I don't know how young he is, but he's evidently not 18, able to tell them, I'm 18, I'll do what I want to. 12 maybe, yeah. And, you know, they got on to him, and he said, "Don't you know I got to be about my father's business?" And then I'd say it like this, and he submitted to his parents, and you didn't hear nothing about that anymore. They ended up in Galilee. Our kids are not telling us what to do. If they do, Jesus is not running my house. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's how come so many homes, Christian homes, are warped up. Had a family come here one time, and the teenage daughter actually thought she was smarter than them. Really believed it. I looked at that teenager and I said, "You're not smarter than your parents. That's dumb. You're not going to convince me you're smarter than me, because that's dumb. You're a teenager and I'm a man. You're a teenager." And, you know, that person gets a little red, you know, and all of that. And I said, "You know, don't think I'm getting on to you, but you're going to have to start thinking straight. That's why your house is messed." Then I went to the overseer of the house. Who's the overseer? Not the woman, is it? It's not what the God said. He said the man is the house, the head of the house, right? The woman submits. The husband loves like Christ loves the church. He gave himself for her. He loves his wife, his family, like his wife like that. Then his wife submits not to the kids. I told Travis one time, I know it sounds a little rough, but it's not. It's just, it was in my heart, you know. And I told Travis one time when he was a teenager, about 14, 15 years old, and they say he's getting into that, you know, that it ain't because they get teenagers. It's because there's a real devil. Rebellion's real. Witchcraft is real. Lying is real, right? All of these things, these manipulation to get what they want is real. That's not, I mean, that's not because of a certain age. And we could train them. But anyhow, I went to the head of that house. I said, "What's wrong with you, man?" I said, "You allowing your daughter? Your 14-year-old daughter to tell you that she is smarter than you and knows how to run this house? Come on, man. That's you copping out on your family." What was I doing? I wasn't getting on to him. I'm trying to help the family. You know, so I tell Travis, I said, "Don't ever make me choose between you and your mother." He's sitting there. He heard it. Now, I wasn't trying to kick him out and make him feel less than, but I was just letting him know that it is God first, then it's me, and then it's mama, then it's you. Right? Ministry don't even come really before family. God didn't put ministry in Genesis before he put the family together. Family comes first. See, I had a bunch of preachers they tried to convince me, and I'm like, "Well, they can't back it up by no scripture." So I go to looking how God is. How many knows he'll show you how he is in his word? And so I put God first, I put my family second, then I put ministry in my heart third. But if I take care of my family, I'll have plenty of ministry. If I take care of my family, you know, right? And I can, because I'm compassed with God's favor. And it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Ain't we to be like Jesus? Ain't we to imitate Jesus? Ain't that what the Bible says? Put on Christ, put on his mind, be like him, right? Be like Christ, right? Well, if we going to be like Christ, then we're going to increase in wisdom. Wisdom's the ability to make right choices in hard times. I mean, you ain't got to think about it too much. You're like, the word says this, and blood God, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Wisdom is availability. It's available of having, experience, knowledge, good judgment, and quality of being wise. Wisdom, you're wise. You have the wisdom of God. Wisdom means the availability of having experience. Well, I experienced the $130,000 wiped out because I would not. I knew what the Bible says. That's wisdom, right? your truck payment's due and you ain't got the money to pay it, don't go around saying all that. I just ain't got the money to pay it. Oh, it's going to be bad. My credit's going to be bad. No, you use the word of God and you say, God, a good name. Now you're using wisdom. You have that ability. You have it. Jesus grew in it. He grew in wisdom and stature. You know what stature means? I looked it up this morning. Stature means a good name. I thought, man, I didn't know that meant that. You know, it means reputation, stature. You ought to have a reputation of standing in faith. You ought to have a reputation of being faithful to the things you know God wants you to be faithful to. You ought to have a reputation. You know, the hand of the diligent will bear, one of my main trucks tore up, you know, and I had to work on it yesterday, but I had to haul a load of hay, I had to move that tractor to here, I had to go get another tractor and move it to here. Then I had to go start working on that, you know, and I'm thinking, man, it's Saturday, Teresa's taking her Sabbath, I really want to be laying on the couch. You know, but what does the Bible say, the hand of the diligent what? Bears rule. Get it done. You know? And don't put it off. She told me that this morning. Don't be slothful. Don't put off washing the dishes. Don't put off washing clothes till your husband ain't got no clothes to wear. Right? Don't put off sweeping the floor because you're tired. Don't put off fixing the service truck, although I got two more I can get in. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, this one's down. Don't procrastinate. I'm talking to me now, not y'all. Don't procrastinate. And so anyways, I do all that, and then I thought, man, I'm out of lemon juice. I take that water and pour it out about there, lemon juice, and I like lemon water, you know. So I'm out of lemon water at home, and I thought, man, we're out of loaf bread too. And I like to go to the loaf bread store, you know. Man, I mean, I'll drive, and she goes and gets that wheat bread. The dog can't even chew it. They're out there for an hour. And the dog goes and sniffs it and like backs up. So when I get to go to the grocery store, whoo, bread aisle, here I come. You know, I usually smush it to see which one's the freshest. I don't care now. I just grab the first one I come to. Praise the Lord. So anyways, I'm going in there and I thought, man. And so I called and one of my brothers, he was up there and I told him what I was doing a little bit. And he said, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm going in the grocery store right now. I said, I got to get some lemon water, lemon juice and this and that, you know, and all of that. He said, boy, he said, you've got all this done today. I said, well, look, man, you got to be diligent. I said, you know, I mean, I go over there, haul 10 rolls of hay. I unload it right quick, load the tractor up, try to crank another, and I'm going back to bring another one, then go get that other and bring it over there, then fix my truck, and I'm going to be home by 4 or 5. You know, well, I get in there fixing that and then something else. And this part store's done closed. And I thought, man, I was wanting to be down there with Teresa, you know. Just go sit down with her in the Sabbath, you know. And just be in the living room together, you know. And I thought, well, I know what. I've got that truck tied up. This is wisdom. That truck's tied up and I don't want to drop that and all of that. And so I thought, well, you know what, she's going to have to drive me. I'm just going to tell her all my trucks is tied up and we're going to be spending time together. So I go down there and I just tell her, hey, I need you to drive me. And I've got grease all over. I got favor. I can get in her truck that way. You know. And I told her the deal. She said, I know what's going on around here. And I said, I know you're gonna drive me. Well, we had to run to Walmart. And the time we get back, we had to eat and sit there and eat tacos and all of that, you know, and everything. And then, you know, and I'm like, oh, I got to eat. We're going to be up here forever. And so anyways, I didn't say all of that. And we get back. And then I get up there and I start working and I need something else. And I had this thought, go let her drive you. I said, not again. That's not happening again. I went up there and unhooked me a trailer and went on, praise God. But anyhow, what I'm saying, I got my truck fixed and I got up and I thought, glory to God. I got everything I needed done. Thank you, Lord. Your favor gives me ability. It gives you the ability to do more than normal. It gives you strength to do more than normal when you're doing it, when you decide. See, God told me one time, he said, you don't need no anointing to do nothing. He said, you need the anointing to do. He said to lay hands on the sick, to believe for the supernatural to happen in your life, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, go around saying this week this scripture. Not this one, the other one. That God has put His favor on me like a shield. He's crowned me with His favor. And good things happen to me all the time. I mean, you need to say that all week. Good things happen, thank you, Lord, to me all the time. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I'm blessed. Blessed is the fruit of my body, God, because of Your divine favor. And I mean, go expecting breakthroughs in things that looks impossible. I mean, that's where you're going to experience God when you expect God's favor in a very unfavorable situation. And I did that with Shannon. He tells me every day, love you, Brother Scotty. Love you, Brother Scotty. You know, and I'm like, I'm not weird, man. You know, it's good, man, to say it once a month. I understand. Not every day. I'm not your mama, you know. So I respond back, we love you too. We love you too. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, I love you. I love you. That sounds weird, don't it? I love you. I love you too. I love you. Every day, man, I mean. But I know he misses us, you know. But he came in and they're fixing to send. He's fixing to go before the judge. And they're fixing to. And I learned this in jail of God's favor. Like Ruth found it. You know, and I thought, he's the same God. She could have been killed, man. And she went in, and because she had God in her life and found favor from the king, you know. Scepter came, and she didn't get. But anyways, I told him, I said, when you go to that judge tomorrow, well, somebody would give him a little counsel in the church that didn't really know what they were saying. They said, well, you know, get with the DA and talk to the DA and tell him you're saved and blah, 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 blah. And I let them give him that kind of counsel. Then he comes over to me and I said, don't you do that. I said, don't you go to that DA. You're putting your trust in the DA. You're putting your trust in the lawyer. You're putting your trust in the judge. You're trying to convince them to have mercy. I said, but you go in there and you've got the favor of God on your life. I said, you give your heart to Jesus. He's brought a redemption for you and He's redeemed you now. I said, so you go in and you expect God's favor on them. To have favor on you. He went to court and he said, well, I ain't going to be back. I said, don't say that. Because he's expecting to not leave the courthouse. He's expecting this is the last service. He started to say it. I said, don't say that again. I said, and I'll see you Sunday. And a preacher told me one time, boy, you're bold to say that. What if it don't work? What if it does? If he said he's faithful and true with him, why would I doubt it? I said, it ain't my ability, it ain't my wisdom, it's His word and His favor and His ability over there. And you know what? He came out of there and he came back to church, praise God, and God began to turn all of that around for him quickly. Y'all witnessed it. Y'all all saw it. You know what I'm saying, praise the Lord. So I just want to encourage you. And I appreciate you going to church regular. I honestly appreciate your faithfulness, you know. And it helps champion me on. You know, it helps me. And that's an example in the Bible when they was holding Moses' hands up, they was winning. When Moses' hands, his arms got tired. When they held them up, they was winning. But when Moses' arms come down, they begin to lose. That's a type of us backing the church up, backing the ministry up. Let's pray. Father, we just praise You.